Galatians chapter 6, as we have learned more and more what it is to live and to walk in the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature," in other words, selfishness, "from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers." Father, we thank You for being the Lord of the harvest. We thank You for creating the laws of sowing and reaping. Teach us, Lord, how to do good. Teach us and motivate us by Your Holy Spirit to do good and for Your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we talked about and emphasized in particular in verse 9, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap if we do not give up." And it is so easy to give up when you have sown and you keep on sowing day in and day out and you don't see the harvest. And we want immediate results, right? On your job, you're expected to produce, right? Results. But guess what? When it comes to God and sowing and reaping, you cannot control the results. I like the way Charles Stanley puts things. Do what's right and leave the results to God, the consequences. A lot of times you got to do what's right. And even when it comes to sowing and reaping, you can't control when the harvest comes. And we learned last week we should focus not on the expected harvest, but of the Lord of the harvest. Paul said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase." And as long as our minds are on God and not what we expect the harvest now in this life. Let me tell you something. The main harvest is in heaven. The main harvest for us is coming in the new heavens and the new earth. And that scripture in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 17 always inspires me. Whenever I get discouraged and weary and say, "Oh Lord, I've been sowing all these years and where's the harvest?" I turn to Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 17. "Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes in the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior." His focus was on not the harvest, but the Lord of the harvest. And you will not grow weary. You will not give up when your expectations are not fulfilled. For God is more than enough. We focus and we put our faith in the Lord of the harvest. And we know we have been promised in Philippians 1:6 that He who began a good work in you. You didn't begin this work. He gave you the power to sow. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And so it's a walk of faith, not of sight. Because I tell you, sometimes if I look at just things physically on sight, where's the harvest, Lord? You get discouraged. But we walk by faith. We have our mind set on Him who is invisible, even as Abraham did when he was too old to sow physically in reproduction anymore. He knew that God calls things that aren't as though they were. And he waited and he was patient and he did not give up. We cannot give up. We must continue to sow. But now today I want to ask you another question. Why are you living? Why are you living? What are you living for? Get more stuff? What are you living for? Let me ask it another way. If you were never born, would the world be any different? This is about impact. I had someone tell me one time, say, "Mr. Williams is not about numbers, it's about impact. If you were never born, would the world be any different? Will the people around you be any different? What impact do you make in people's lives? Is your living in vain? See, because if it's to fulfill, and if you're sowing to the flesh, it is in vain. Even though you may get everything you want, you may be living large like Trump. Got your Trump Airlines, you got this, you got the money, you got all the wives. You know, it could be Trump, it could be anybody. It could be Solomon, who had everything. And he said, vanity of vanities. It's all vanity. What are you living for? What are you sowing for? Are you sowing to the flesh, selfishness? Or are you sowing to the Spirit, which is love? So the message today is this. Sow good to others for goodness sake. Sow good to others, not yourself. Not to your flesh, but sow good to others for goodness sake. Haven't you heard that term? Well, for goodness sake, why do I live? Why was I born? Why were you born? It was for goodness sake. It is for God's sake. That's why we exist. For the glory of God and finding our satisfaction in Him. And not for us. It's not how many toys we acquire for ourselves and the lavish on our flesh. So good to others. Notice it's pointed to others, pointing to God. You know, the cross is upward and outward. To God be the glory. For great things He has done. We sing that. What great things He has done. He's given His only Son. You see, God is about others. Do you realize that? He sows good to others for goodness sake, for His glory. It's for God's sake. God is good. And God lives in Christians. Are we lifing that out? When we sow and we do good to other people see God in us. He sees Jesus in me, Jesus in you. We used to sing that song. And it's all for His glory. What are you sowing for? What are you investing in? That's another term for sowing. The flesh or the Spirit. Paul says in chapter 6, in verse 10, notice what he says, therefore, in other words, everything I've been telling you about, that salvation is by grace through faith. Therefore, since we are God's children and heirs, he talked about that as well. God's children created in His image of holiness, righteousness, and goodness. That's who we are through faith in Jesus Christ. Created His image and empowered to be fruitful and multiply. Multiply what? Goodness? Yes, indeed. For goodness sake. Remember that. It's for goodness sake. Maybe the next time you're about to do something, he says, now wait a minute, for whose sake is this? For mine or for God's? God is good. For goodness sake. You see, it says in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, we're saved by grace. And we say, oh yeah, we're saved by grace. Thank you, Lord. And we go on with that. But we don't read the rest, especially verse 10 of Ephesians 2. We are God's workmanship. He built us. He made us. Why? Created for good works in Christ Jesus. He saved you to sow good for goodness sake. And let me tell you something. It is so good to sow good. Jesus, as recorded in Acts 20 and verse 35, said, it is more blessed to give, right, than to receive. And when you give to others and give to God, you are sowing good for goodness sake. You were created for good works. Notice the word good. Which God prepared in advance, that is before the creation of the world, for us to do. It's not just we're saved, we're to do something. We're to sow good towards God and towards others. We're not saved by good works. We're saved
for
good works. We're saved by grace through faith, but created to do good works for God's glory, for goodness sakes, not just for ourselves, primarily for God. So sow good into others for goodness sake, for God's sake, for His glory. What is good? I said it before. God is good, is He not? He's the epitome of good. He is holy. He is righteous. And so are we through sanctification and justification. God is good on a moral level. His law, the Ten Commandments, show that He is good. So when we speak of goodness, we first must look at it ethically and morally as to who we are in Christ Jesus. We have been declared holy and righteous. And the Holy Spirit lives in us to life out through sanctification that holiness and righteousness. So when I say sow good, I'm talking about you sowing who you are. In your workplace, in your family. It says, with God, there is light, and there's no shadow darkness. He's not some shadowy, shady, figure. He's ethical. He is moral. He is right and holy. When I say sow good, for goodness sake, we need to sow who we are in Christ in holiness and righteousness. In Ephesians 4, Paul said, we have been created in His image of holiness and righteousness. That's the first thing you come to sow good. You can't come and say, oh, let me help you. I want to help you. You're sick, or I go visit you in prison. And you're living a miserable life. The first thing you sow is Christ in you. Your character. Your integrity. See, the fruit of the Spirit, when it says goodness, it is speaking of moral character as well. You want to bring food to help somebody? That's great. But the instrument, the vessel, is sanctified to do that. So when I say sow goodness, we need to look at our integrity. Because God is good. He is holy and righteous. In Philippians chapter 2, watch this, verses 1 through 2. He says, Paul said to the Philippians, you know, as you have always obeyed, as you have always been good, children, or are you only good when your parents are around? See, when you sow goodness, you talk about your life. What do you do when your parents are not looking? What do you do in school when the teacher or the principal isn't looking? See, this is goodness. This is sowing goodness because people see who you are and they can tell. And something's not right with that person. Something's not right with that student. Something's not right with that employee. Just something's not right. I can't put my finger on it. But let me tell you something. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you are under the control of not your flesh, but of the Spirit of love, people notice it. This is a person of character. Integrity, it has been said, is what you do when nobody's looking. And you can't fake it. You really can't. You can fool, right, some of the people, some of the time. But you cannot fool all of the people all the time. It oozes out of you. It comes out of your spirit. And people may not know what you're doing. They say, but something's not right here. Something's just not right. This doesn't digest. This doesn't smell right. He says, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence. See, I'm talking about sowing goodness here. Perhaps you never thought about it that way. As you've obeyed not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, when I'm gone. When the cat's away, you can complete it, right? The mice will play. Not only in my absence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He didn't say work for your salvation. It's a gift of God. But work out that goodness that is in you. Bring it to its natural conclusion. If you are good, you act good. You know, I can teach. They say you can teach a chimp to get on a piano and hit a few keys. But just because a chimp can play the piano does not make him a human being. You can teach somebody to fake goodness, but that does not make him good. Only God makes us good. He says, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Fear and trembling of God. Living coram Deo. You know what that means? In the presence of God. Not in the presence of Paul, not in the presence of your pastor. Teachers are parents. But the presence of God in fear and trembling. People don't have fear of God anymore. I mean a healthy fear. We awe Him. We worship Him because He's great. But He's also powerful. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. This is real, folks. And fear and trembling. He knows all and sees all. You can't hide from God. There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. But it's God who works in you. See, this is where it comes from, the goodness. It's God who works in you both to will and to do and to act according to His, notice, good purpose. You'll hear a lot today about good. It comes from God because God is good. So from the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's where it's got to come from. So from a good heart. You know, we talk about someone who does good all the time. And they'll give you the shirt off their back, right? And what do we say about them? Why do they give them? Why do He give you food or a shirt off your back? He says, because He's got a good heart. You ever hear that? So-and-so's got a good heart. They'll help anybody. They got to use wisdom in that. There's somebody who showed up after church last week wanting money. My wife had just seen them with a sign at Walmart, Sam's, a few days later. He said, aren't you the same person at Sam's? And some people do this professionally. So you do have to use wisdom and discernment. But nevertheless, your heart should be open. You should have kindness and pity towards people. But you also have to, again, use wisdom because they are professional beggars. Beware. But anyway, that's the kind of heart. Goodness is sowing acts of kindness and mercy out of a good heart. God gives us that good heart through the Holy Spirit. He gives us a new heart, a heart of flesh. We read earlier in this service in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, what has God told us that is good? I like the way it puts that. What is God's definition of good? He says to do justice. That means you've got to do what's right. You can't be shifty. You can't be slip-sliding. You got to treat people fairly. And to love kindness, that you just love to be kind to people. This is what the Lord requires. And to walk humbly before your God. That means you're depending on Him for the good that you are sowing and giving to other people. Not yourself. It's not about you. It's about Him. For whose sake? For whose sake? For goodness' sake. God is good. We say it all the time, right? God is good. And God is good when? All the time, and all the time God is good. We're depending on Him through the power of the Holy Spirit that the goodness of God will be sown continually in other people's lives. You know what it said about Jesus as He lived this life? Turn with me to the book of Acts. A powerful statement. People say, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes they don't know what they mean. It's not about speaking in tongues and this and that and all of that. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. It means to walk in the Spirit to satisfy and please God and not yourself. That's its primary meaning. Notice this in Acts 10 and verse 38. Notice what Peter preached. How God anointed, empowered Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. God has given you the Holy Spirit and power to do what? And how He went around doing good. Isn't that interesting? Sowing good and healing and all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. God says, I'll never leave you either nor forsake you. And we are to go about intentionally and specifically doing good and to love kindness and compassion for people. Love, therefore, is the cause. Love is what moved God to send His only begotten Son. God so loved the world. He's so full of goodness and love that He sent His Son. Love is the cause. It is the because. We say, well, why did God do it? Because He loves. It is the reason. Well, why should I do it? The reason is love. It wasn't because we were good, fallen, sinful. There was no reason why He should, but love. There may be no reason why you should help somebody, but love. Love kindness. God is love. And the purpose that His love and grace would be seen throughout the universe for all ages, and we would worship, all the angels and all of humanity would worship Him for His grace, for His love, and for His mercy. That's the only reason. That's right. That's the only reason. Now, God set us an example through Jesus Christ for how we should live. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, let's go back to that text. He went about doing good. What do we go about? Is it about ourselves? Thank you. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. He says, therefore, as we have opportunity, as we have opportunity, you say, well, you know, I just don't have opportunity. Remember that song we played in the offering? It may sound a little different to some. The mismatched prayer was, Lord, give me your eyes to see the hurting. Give me your eyes to see, blah, 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 as you see. He says here, therefore, as we have opportunity. Let me just tell you something. The opportunities are abundant. The opportunity here speaks of your lifetime. You only go around once. I asked you before, would the world, would your family, your community be any different if you were never born? If God has called you, He's saved you and created you as His workmanship to do good works, not to be saved, but you're saved by grace, but to do good works for His glory, for goodness sake. The opportunity was your life. You were born to glorify God by doing good works. Therefore, as we have opportunity, are you breathing? You have opportunity. You have opportunity in your family, in your community, in your workplace, in the world. So good to others, for goodness sake. Secondly, there are many opportunities daily to sow good, and we don't do it. Jesus in Philippians 2, Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, counting others better than yourselves. Let nothing be done through vanity, but counting others better than yourself. Jesus humbled Himself. Remember, it says, what does the Lord require? That you walk right, that you love kindness and justice, and you walk humbly with your God. That means walking humbly like Jesus, who made Himself of no reputation and humbled Himself and became a servant. In the Cinderella story, the footman, the lowest, he washed feet. A waiter, a servant. You go to a restaurant, right? And if you go to a good restaurant and a good waiter, that waiter is attentive to your every need. He knows when you need some water. You don't have to say, hey, can I get some water? No, he's there. He knows when you need a napkin. Yours fell on the ground. He's attentive. He's sensitive. We need to be waiters, servants in our families, communities. These are opportunities to serve. It may be a smile. It may be an encouragement. You may be, we need to be more sensitive to the needs of people. We may see somebody that we know and it says, you know, they look a little down. It may be just, hey, how you doing? You know, good to see you and just to be with them. It may be an encouraging word. Someone's got bad news. It's all over. Human beings hurt. Human beings are fallen. And human beings need seed sowers of good who are sowing to the Spirit in other people's lives. And especially, notice what he said here in verse 10. Let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You got to start at home first. You got to start in the congregation. If one brother is suffering, then we all suffer. If one brother is rejoicing or sister, we all rejoice. We are one. And we have to sow into each other's lives. And we start with the church. Notice something that I skip in this whole series in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 6. I didn't give a whole sermon to it, but I would like to talk about it at this moment. He says this, Galatians 6, 6. I want you to look at this with me. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share. So, this is the word good. All good things with his instructor. I could have preached a whole sermon on that. He's talking about the teacher, the pastor teacher in the congregation. If you receive the instruction, the word, like you are today, he says you must sow, you must share all good things with his instructor. And I really appreciate those in the, most of you in this congregation who sow to this ministry. You see, but I don't see a big harvest. But you know it's making an impact. And I deeply appreciate the sacrifice of each and every one of you. Even you young people. Sometimes it's a quarter. Let me let you know something. I appreciate the quarter. If it's a penny, remember the widow who put in like it was all she had. And he said, look at her. She's put in all her living. She's sowing. I deeply appreciate it. You know, when I was a little boy, my mother taught me this. To give to God first. It's the truth. If you're there hearing the word of God, when I go and visit other churches, I give. If I go and visit another kitchen beside my own, when I eat, I don't wipe my mouth on the napkin and get up and go out the door. I share. I give. For the service of the food that has been given to me. We dare not do that. You'd be arrested. Notice what he says here. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share in all good things with his instructor. Do we do that? Do we teach our children that? You know, in James 4, in verse 17, it says, to him who knows to do what is right and you don't do it, it is sin unto him. We have a capital. I can give if I want to. Yeah, you can, but it's, and you cannot. It is wrong. There's no two ways about it. To sit here and to hear the word of God and give nothing. When I visit other churches, I make sure I give, for it is right and I know it's right. So good. When we have a brother or sister here in this congregation and they have need, to know they have need and not offer or reach out to help them, whether it's financially, whether it's emotionally or spiritually, and we don't sow and bear one another's wrong. It is wrong. This is not Christianity. So if you have another mind, you need to stop fooling yourself. He said it. God is not mocked. Verse 7, do not be deceived. It's interesting that after verse 6, he goes into verse 7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. You can't fool God. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature. Well, I'm going to keep this for myself. From that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. We need to sow into other people's lives. I'll give you an example, and I'm going to sit down. I'm going to give you a good example. We need to sometimes see examples. I want y'all to turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 10 and verse 25. Sow good to others for goodness sake. And so we had a man who did not want to sow good. Doesn't tell us his name, just says he was a teacher of the law. And this teacher of the law asked Jesus, well, how will I inherit eternal life? And Jesus said this, what is written in verse 26, I'm in Luke 10, verse 26, what is written in the law? And how do you read it? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love the Lord your God, love your neighbor, as yourself. That's sowing. Love is sowing into other people's lives, sowing into God, sowing unto your neighbor. And Jesus said, hey, you got it right. You've answered correctly. But the man knew he wasn't doing right. So he wanted to justify himself. Well, you know, I really don't know who my neighbor is. Who is my neighbor? And Jesus, knowing his heart, see, it's out of a good heart we sow good things to others. Sometimes we need to pray and ask God to really change us, break us if necessary, and give us a new heart, and take away the heart of selfishness and of stone. In reply, Jesus said, if a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. That identifies to me that this man going down was a Jew. Very possibly. It doesn't say, but very strongly. And he fell into a hand of robbers. And they stripped him of his clothes. Must have had some fine clothes on. Stole his clothes. Took his Nikes, right? His Jordans. And beat him. And he went away. They went away. And leaving him half dead. And a priest. Now we look at the people who were supposed to be good. The priest, right? The priest's got to be good. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. And so, wait a minute. Dionne Warwick, walk on by, right? And she wasn't born then, but they could have sung that. As the priest went on the other side of the road. You want to get involved? No, oh, not me. I'm not helping. I'm not going to sow good. I'm not going to love justice and kindness and love and mercy and what is good. So too, a Levite, another high-standing so-called good person in Jewish society, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. He would not sow into that man's life. That man had a need. If we have opportunity, look at all these opportunities. But a certain Samaritan. And it's interesting that even though it's not in the text, we've come to call him what? Good. Because he sowed good into other people's lives. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, a Samaritan was looked down. Jesus chose this story because he knew that the lawyer of the law, the Jewish man and the priest, they looked down on the Samaritan. as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him to love kindness. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey. He said, I'll walk, you ride the donkey. And he took him to an inn and took care of him. He didn't just check him in. Now he stayed with him and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 silver coins. Notice, where is your heart? He's going to say, oh, this is my money. I'm not sharing it with this Jew who probably hates me. No, he sold his money even into that person's life and gave them to the innkeeper. And he said, look after him, he said. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. And so Jesus turns to the lawyer, the respectable, successful man, and he says, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers? And the expert of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Why are you here? Why were you born? Why do you exist? Is it just for yourself? To sow to yourself? You know, I'd love to have a conversation with a good Samaritan. And if I could, I would ask him, why did you stop and help that man? And I would like to believe that he would say, because that's why I was created. That's why I was born. He said, if I could just help somebody, then my living would not be in vain. My living would have a purpose. For goodness sake, I would like for you to contemplate today's sermon in the light of a song. This is a song sung by a woman whose living was not in vain. She's dead now. But she made every opportunity of her life to help others through the gift that God had given her in her songs and her voice. The song's entitled, If I Can Help Somebody, Then My Living Will Not Have Been in Vain. Listen to the words and contemplate the message. Your name.
I cannot help somebody as I travel alone. I cannot help somebody in a world or a soul. I cannot help somebody. and roll. Though my lily shall not be in vain, no, my living shall not be in vain. No. I cannot help somebody while I'm singing their song. You know my living just
I will leave you with the words of Jesus to the lawyer. Go and do likewise.